Before I get into the message, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come this morning, not that I would just be seen. It's not about that. No form or fashion. It's about telling the people about you coming back again. We know, oh God, that you are coming back. Pray, oh God, that you would just give us a word that stir up in these people's hearts, that they can take outside these four walls and tell a dying world that you are Lord and Savior. Without you, there is none, oh God. God, I pray that if I climb this mountain and descend to the other side and proclaim your word, let everybody know that you're coming again soon and very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have prayer requests, praise report, and people are hurting. My mother always told me, if you keep having birthdays, keep getting up, keep saying good morning, sooner or later something's going to hurt on you. My knee bothered me every now and then, swell up. But I saw on television yesterday, they call it the race. I don't know if y'all saw it, of the 100 plus. When I saw this 102-year-old man running this sprint, I looked at television and I'm like, wait a minute, that's a misprint. Am I reading this right? Lord have mercy, this young, well-seasoned guy, 102 years old, looked like he can outrun me. So Jesus, I know that you are an omnipotent God. You got all power invested in you. You can do anything but fail. You can speak one word and man can lay down and die. Speak one word and man can live. Or just don't speak nothing and whatever you decide to come to fruition will happen because you are God Almighty. So if you got some back aches, knee aches, heart problems, heart trouble, troubled heart, mean-spirited, whatever it is, God can deliver you if he desires. Amen. The first thing I want to look at will come from James, 5th chapter, verses 14 and 16. See, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, gives us instructions for everything. There's nothing new up under the sun. Just different people, different places, different times. We all go through something. We all have missed the mark and fell short of God's glory. We all have done some wrong. None of us are perfect. Not one. From the pulpit to the door, nobody. But as long as you is breathing God's air and you're above ground, there is hope. And I like to say that the family worship center, we get it right, Pastor Bruce. We get it right. If you are sick and you're hurting and you desire prayer, sometimes they pull a chair right down here and they will anoint you with oil if you so desire and pray over you. Amen. James, 5th chapter, verses 14 through 15. See, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, I like to tell my children, they always say, Daddy, that's basic instruction before leaving earth. Yeah, it's all in here. Whatever it is that you're dealing with is in here. Murder is in here. Fidelity is in here. Cheating on your husband and wife is in here. Read the Bible. There's nothing new up under the sun. The same God back then delivered people can deliver you today. Well, if I could just take these glasses off, because I forgot I need help. James, 5th chapter, verses 14 15. And it reads, well, actually go to verse, well, that's fine, 15. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. That's not Drayton, that's in the Bible. Any sick among you, call upon the elders of the church and have them come and pray over you. But it always helped to be a believer. You have to be a believer. And I would go so far to say that everybody that's praying is not praying for you. But just remember that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I truly believe we got a lot of righteous prayer warriors right here at the Family Worship Center. Amen. As we move on a little further, I had to condense this. Let me give you the condensed version. We're talking about a touch of faith. You got to have faith in all that you do. Why would you put all your belief into something that you don't think or believe can deliver you? Why put all that effort? Why? I wouldn't do it. If we look at this, we're going to ask that you would turn to Mark 5th chapter. And verses 21 through 34, we're going to touch on that and I'm going to get out of your way. For those of you, if you like me, I have to put it in my head. Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, that's how I follow this thing. It said, Jesus, I have the that version, new translation. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, which a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Verse 22, then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Verse 23, pleading fervently with him, my little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. I'm going to keep going down all the way down to 34. That was just the setting, the prelude. Now, this is the meat of it. Jesus went with him, and he called the people and followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. You got to have faith. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith had made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. A touch of faith. Dealing with this woman with the issue of blood, I like to say that she was very determined. I call it determination and desperation. You can reverse those and say, desperation and determination. When you are determined and you're not getting your desired outcome, you do get desperate. You get desperate. Lord, I'm in pain. I'm sick. Lord, I'm getting desperate now. You want to throw in the towel. Lord, do you hear me? Have you turned a deaf ear to me? You are very determined, but then you begin to get desperate if you're not feeling like you're getting healed or he's listening to you. So I say desperation and determination, or determination and desperation. This woman here, I believe that I call this a touch of faith. Mark says that the multitude was thronging Jesus. Now, according to Strong's Biblical Dictionary, that word simply means pressing all around him. Hands was all on Jesus everywhere because he was in a crowd. The multitude of people was all around him, trying to get to him. It reminds me, I might have said this before, like back in my college days when I thought I was all that, had a bag of chips, I had a Jerry Curl, had a few muscles, I thought I was, you know, the latest man, you name it. Long before I met that beautiful thing that night. Don't get it twisted. We go to a concert. Young folks, I guess these days y'all like to hear Bruno Mars, Majestic, Trayvon, Kodak Black. Preacher, how do you know all them people? Because I work with teenagers. And at a concert, when you got a performer and he's down on the floor, he got the mic, he's spitting it and getting it, and all of a sudden y'all trying to get to him, and all around him, that's just thronging. They had hands all on Jesus from everywhere. North, south, left, right, all over him. That's what that word means. But moving right along, I think about this woman with this issue of blood. It means that there was a flowing of or a hemorrhaging of blood constantly. Now, all of us have some type of issue with something, no matter what it is. Your issue might be one that deals with, maybe you just, I don't mean nothing by this, just talk too much. Just tell everything. Things that you shouldn't tell. Things that might be private. Things that could be just for you and your family. Things could be just for you. And all of a sudden you forgot, you told it to somebody. Now it's out there. Now you're mad at your friend that you talked to, and you told them not to tell them to talk to, and they told it anyhow. We have to understand issue. Maybe your issue with that, with a child or someone that might be going astray, and not fairly worse than sinner, but you know we're not immune to. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you don't have some issues or things that you go through. You are, matter of fact, you are a target. The devil wants to get you. You think he's worried about the ones out there doing everything they big and bad enough to do or sinning? No. He want to concentrate on you. God's people, if he can get you to turn around, get you to say there's no God. But I stopped by the family worship and let you know something today. Don't let anybody tell you that heaven isn't real. Heaven is real. But I also want you to know, don't get it twisted, so is hell. Where will you spend eternity? Where? What you do here on this side while you're above ground will determine where you spend eternity. This woman here, if we're talking about a touch of faith, she knew that if she could get to Jesus. But let me tell you something about this woman. She was very determined. If you look at verse 26, we'll backtrack just a little bit. You see, she had visited every doctor that she could see. The more she went to the doctor, the more she became worse, the worse she became. She was determined for 12 long years to try to find a cure. But you got to understand, back during these days, she was considered unclean. No matter what she sat in a chair, you couldn't sit behind her, you would be unclean. She touched you, you were considered to be unclean. You laid in her bed, you would become unclean. Can you imagine that type of life? Nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to be near you. She couldn't get no hugs from her. She couldn't get no kisses. If she had a husband, she couldn't get none of that. She was considered unclean. Who wants to live like that? Every night, then at least give me a hug or a peck on the cheek. Gee. Amen, somebody. Oh, y'all looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all know y'all want some hugs too sometime. And every now and then you want somebody to tell you that, hey, I love you. Y'all go ahead and doing the power. Oh, you can't do that. You would have been unclean. But you got to understand that this woman was very determined. And see, you have to understand that back then, there was no Blue Shield and Blue Cross. There was no all this affordable health care. She did everything she could to get herself healed. She didn't have medical insurance, didn't have a 401k, didn't have savings account, nothing. But I stopped by to let you know that there is someone that they call the great physician. There is someone that they call King Jesus. Jesus can heal anybody of anything because, like I said, he is omnipotent. That means he has all power, not a little bit of power or some power. Reverend Gary, the late Reverend Gary said something when I was a little boy, there's nothing on the other side of all. That's it. Everything. It covers everything. All power in his hand. But she knew and she heard about this man that they called Jesus that was coming close by. See, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get what you want to get. Because if you always did what you always did, then you always get what you always got. Sometimes you got to put that aside and say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to let King Jesus go through here and I don't make it through this crowd and touch him. I just believe that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his robe, if I can just touch the cloak, I will be healed because of my faith. I believe that. You got to do what you got to do to get your desired results. You have to understand that faith, you got to see this thing. You got to see it already happening. You got to see it already there. Well, now, as Jesus came through the multitude, I can see this woman with this issue of blood that she had it for 12 long, agonizing years. Now, 12 years is a long time. That's 4,383 days. That's 144 months. That's 624 weeks. That's 105,192 hours. That's a very, very, very long time. Many of us, we want to throw the towel in 12 minutes. Many of us, we get sick, we want to throw a towel in what, 12 days? Lord, come see about me. Come heal me. I'm hurting. I'm your child. But can you put yourself in this woman who had an issue of blood place? Working her way. There goes Jesus. I got to get to him. I don't care about people looking at me cross-eyed. I don't care what they think about me. I got to get to Jesus. Sometimes you got to fight through the crowd. You might get bumped left and right, but you keep going forward. Don't go backwards. You're losing ground. You keep going forward. Getting closer and closer. Jesus was getting bigger and bigger. Let me know that she was getting closer and closer to him. All of a sudden, when she got close enough, she reached out and touched our Lord and Savior. Jesus said in his word, he turned around and he said, who touched me? Disciples said, Master, what do you mean who touched you? All of these people all around you, hands everywhere. Who touched you? Who knows who touched you, all these people around you? No. I felt the virtue in or out of me. That's the power of her faith. Can you imagine that awesome type of faith? She touched our Lord and Savior. And he said, who touched me? When everybody gathered all around him, somebody was different from everybody else. So when she touched his cloak, touched his robe, she fell down and she looked a little frightened because that's not something that you normally do. And when Jesus looked around and said, your faith has made you whole. You are healed. You are delivered. Get up. How many of us have that type of faith today? Do you believe that God can heal whatever's going on in your body? If it's his desire, he can. Yes.
whether your back is hurting, your knee is hurting, whether you have eye problem, God is still God, and if he desires to heal you, it will happen. But don't get it twisted. If it's not in his divine providence, you still trust and believe in God, because there is another side. You're going to leave here, like my grandma said, baby, with something. Now, when you transition to be with the Lord, you don't want this incorruptible corpse that we call a body trying to make it in that. No, I said that wrong. This corruptible corpse trying to make it into an incorruptible place. I don't want to go to heaven with no bad knees. They hurt bad enough down here. I don't want to go there every time I get up, neck cracking, back cracking. I'm getting closer and closer to what? I like to say to heaven. Every time I roll over, poof, that's my knee. I thank God sometimes my wife knows I have to slide down the side of the bed and get up and warm that thing up, then I'm gone. But I thank God that I can still move, I can still do it. And I know that every day I'm getting closer and closer to eternal life. So whatever you do here, make sure that you're doing it for the right reason. What you're going through now is nothing. Think about what our Lord and Savior did upon the cross. Think about when they crucified Jesus, how much he bled, suffered, and then died. But just like he said in his word, 3 days later, I'll rise again and build his temple. And he did, amen? You got to have faith. Even though you don't see the end, you got to have faith. You must believe in it. You got to have faith. I often tell people, if you don't stand for something, you might just fall for anything. And I move on. And I close. I want to close. It's going to show a little bit of symbolism, a little allegory. There was this young sprinter who was very fast. He won a lot of accolades. Won the Olympics. First place. He ever was. One day in a foreign city, this gray-haired old man saw him coming out of the store. The old man walked up to this young sprinter. He said, "Son, aren't you that young sprinter that won all the accolades and won all the first place in the international championship?" He said, "You know how to go through it." Yeah. Man told him, he said, "Son, can I just get a race with you? Can I race you one time?" The young boy looked at this old man and he said, "Old man, look like Father Time done touch your body. You humped over and you got wrinkles in your face and you want to race me?" The old man said, "Yeah, son, can I just race you one time? It ain't going to do no harm. It ain't going to hurt you." And he found the other thing. Let's go up there and the old man and the young boy got down and they began to race. Somebody shot the gun, pow, and they took off running. Young boy was an athletic, he was an athlete. He looked good running. It was running and running and running, and then all of a sudden the young boy looked to his side. The old man was still by his side. They kept on running and running, and the young boy, he said, "Well, you know what, I'm going to put up a little bit more speed. I'm going to make this old man just give up." As the young boy put on a little more speed, he looked to the side, the old man put on a little more speed also. As they began to run towards the last turn, this is where the young boy always won all of his races. He put his head down. He began to dig hard as he could. Every fiber of muscle in his body, he began to run hard as he could. He looked over and the old man was still by his side. He looked down again to try to cross the finish line, but this old man, he took up and he ran across the finish line first. The young sprinter said, "Old man, who are you to outrun a young man like me?" The old man said, "Come here, son. Sit down. Oh, you know who I am, but you just don't know my name. Sit down and let me tell you. looked at this young boy, he said, you see, I too am a famous runner. I have never lost a race myself. I caught up with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I outrun all of the wise men. I even caught up with Methuselah. And then he said, one day on Calvary's Hill, I caught up with Jesus. He said, my name is Death. And when you're running down the tracks of life, one of these old days, family worship center, the black horse of death is going to come to your front door. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Will you be ready? That's the question. God bless you today. I had to shorten that up, but it is what it is. All right, Pastor Bruce, I'm going to get out of the way.